All right. We are going to go right to our passage this morning. I've got limited time, and I've got some principles and thoughts that I want to throw your way. So let's go to verse 8. And as we read verse 8, I'm going to stop and comment, and then we'll read verse 9. But you read this with me together. To me, who am less than... Okay, wait a minute. Am I right? Did I just read by myself? Okay, so you guys, when you prayed that you would have an open heart and an open mind, do you really? Okay, do we need to go back to prayer again? Okay, no, I'm just kidding. All right, okay. Read with me, okay? To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, I just want you to understand in there, when we talk about unsearchable riches, it means impossible to understand on the basis of careful examination and investigation. That's what the dictionary says about it. And I thought, isn't that really true? Because even last week, how many of you were here last week? Okay, now do you remember we raised our hand and praised the Lord on everything through Ephesians 1 and 2? When we look at that, isn't it almost unfathomable at that point? You almost think, God, man, do you even know what you're doing? Because there's so much in there. And so he says that, Paul says that he is to preach, and he took 13 books to do it, to preach this impossible to understand promises that we have through Christ. And so he calls it the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now let's go on to verse 9. And to make all men... Oh, wait a minute. You're going to read with me on this. I'm sorry. Okay, are you ready? And to make all see what is the dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus. All right. Welcome to Steve's final theology class. Okay, I'm going to have one more theology today, and then after that, you got to join a theology class here. All right, because we're going to keep on moving through the passage in 3, and there's some beautiful things coming up. But I really felt like we need one more theology class this morning, so I'm going to bring it down to the floor. And I'm going to talk about this. I think what I want to say today is that if you understand what I'm talking about today, it's going to clear up your confusion about the Bible. How many are confused about the Bible a little bit? Come on, be honest. Okay, I'm going to clear up your confusion today, if you're listening. Okay, and if I get to going with too many terms and that kind of thing, just raise your hand and I'll slow her down and try to explain what I'm saying, because I've been a theologian all my life studying this stuff, and enough that I'm pretty much a heretic compared to anybody around, and that's when you know somebody's really studied, right? We used to always call ourselves heretics. And it isn't, I'm not a heretic. I just, what I really want to do today is talk about the word dispensation, because you see the dispensation of the mystery. We talked about a dispensation in verse 1 or 2 of Ephesians 3, and I realize we've been talking about it, but we really haven't talked about what it means, and then I want to talk about means and method of salvation, and those things together, when you understand them, if you don't walk out of here with clarity, it's because you fell asleep during my sermon. All right? I hope. All right. Okay, so let me just make this point here, and that is that dispensations differ from principles, universal principles. 90 to 95% of the Word of God is about principles. Principles like, for instance, let me give you one, and you guess whether it's a principle or a dispensation. Love one another. Principle, yeah, we have it in Deuteronomy, we have it in Paul, we have it in James, we have it in a lot of the different authors. That's a principle. And see, God has principle after principle after principle after principle that we can listen to and put in our life because it's about righteousness and holiness. But a lot of times we take a dispensational thing and we try to apply it like a principle over the board, and it goofs us up, okay? So let me just talk about, first of all, dispensations are concerning God's dealing with those under him in specific ways at specific times, okay? The root word dispense means a dealing out, but it also has the idea of a manager, administrator dealing out. Here's what the dictionary says about dispensation. An exemption or release from a rule or obligation, especially a religious one. Now, what does that sound like? Our dispensation is an exemption or release from a rule or obligation, isn't it? What is that rule or obligation? The law of Moses, yeah, okay. And so that's in our case. And then the second description is a time during which a religious doctrine or practice is believed to be in force. And the third one is the distribution or giving out of something. So let's put it into practical terms. God dispensed law to Israel, right? You're all with me so far? Okay, I haven't used too many terms. Okay. And but he dispenses what to us as Gentiles? Grace. Yeah. You remember Romans 6:14. For we are not under, but under grace. But we don't believe that, do we? We keep getting caught up into the law a little bit, you know. And as you go along and as you see the truth of this, it will grow on you, and pretty soon you will understand grace. And what grace does is it takes you to your knees. It really does. It's when you believe in the law that it doesn't take you to your knees. Because somehow we go, yeah, we're under grace and we're not under law, but we always put the but on there. But we've got to act right. We've got to do this. We've got to do that, right? And that's what gets us all goofed up and messed up. Okay, so probably the best example, let me just say this. That is the idea of dispensation. Now, principles can be applied to both Israel and the body of Christ, and because it's about God's character and God's nature, and it's a call to you and I to be righteous and holy. And I've said this before, how would we even know what that looks like if we didn't have the Old Testament? In the New Testament, you don't have many examples of holiness. But boy, in the Old Testament, and man, all my devotions all the time, because I preach in the New Testament, are always in the Old Testament. That's all I do, is read the Old Testament every day, because the examples in there that we see, like if you take David, his righteousness and his sin. God never covers it up on the people. Did you notice that? He always tells it like it is, and we begin to learn what holiness and righteousness is through those examples. But the problem is when we start applying some of their dispensational things to us, it just doesn't work because we're not under law. We're under grace. All right. So probably the best example of a dispensation is our modern pharmacy, okay, where we are dispensed a drug from a doctor's prescription. Now, follow along with me here while I drink my latte. I got it late. Let's say I have strep throat, and strep throat seems to be the thing that my grandkids are having all the time. They always trade it around, and it seems to be always going. But anyhow, let's say I have strep throat, and so the doctor writes me a prescription for what? Medical. Antibiotics, right? And so then I go to the pharmacy, and I see the lady, the pharmacist there, and I say, here's my doctor's prescription, and so she looks at it, and she says, you have strep throat? Yeah, I got strep throat. And she goes, okay. So she goes in there, and she grabs these pills, and she brings them out, and they're birth control pills, and she said, this should take care of your strep. Okay. All right. So I take a couple and get grumpy. Nah. Sorry. Hey, just a joke. Come on, we all can take it, can't we? Okay, all right. So then I realize, wait a minute. Birth control pills are not going to straighten out my strep. What's going to straighten out my strep? Antibiotics. So the pharmacist did not dispense correctly, right? And so she was under the illusion that she should dispense something different than what should be dispensed. Okay, now I think that she has to do proper administration, proper stewardship. It has to be dispensing of the needs for me and that the doctor wrote. Now, So the doctor orders antibiotics, and I take birth control pills. That doesn't work. But in the Christian community, we do exactly the same thing, don't we? In the Christian community, we get confused, and we begin to, the average church attender, when I talk to him, is completely confused about what's required of them and what's not required of them. Are you following me so far? Okay, and we've all been there, haven't we? I remember when I first became a Christian and I was talking to people and I'm like totally confused. I mean, I know I love God. I know I'm going to serve God. But man, they were laying down all this stuff that did not make sense to me. And it was because they were applying the wrong dispensation to me and the rest of the people. Okay. All right, now I hope you don't get tired of me saying, are you following along? But I just want to make sure I'm pulling you along so you understand what I'm saying. All right. So what we have in the Christian community is we take a little tablespoon of law and we throw it into this bowl and we mix it with various types of baptism, sprinkling, dunking, in between. And then we sprinkle a little bit of it. Seems like we should have circumcision, so we'll throw that in too. Okay, and then we're going to do the 9 commandments and throw those in there. You know why it's not 10? Because we don't believe the 10th one, which is the Sabbath. Okay, so Israel had the Sabbath, and so we don't do that one, but we do the other 9, so we mix that into the bowl. And then we throw a little bit of the unpardonable sin. We don't know what it is, but we're throwing it in there because we need a little fear to live our life right, right? Okay, so we move that in there. And then we throw a little loss of salvation in there and a little eternal security at the same time, and we mix that into the bowl. And then we take works, and we don't know what to do with works, so we just throw it on in there. And what do we get? Well, my favorite word is, I call it mush theology. Mush theology. Isn't that a good technical term? It's mush. Because we are not abandoning the principles, and we're going to the dispensational things. And we're mixing them up in this bowl, and it's a mess. And so we're not looking at what God's administrating to Israel, or he's administrating to us, but we're taking it all, and we're putting it in there. And the reason is, and I brought this up a few sermons ago about the comedian that I heard during the Vietnam War time. And he got up and he was cracking these jokes, and then he said, well, I was in a foxhole. Do you remember this one? I was in a foxhole, and so he said, I was wearing the cross, the Star of David, the Buddha, and any other kind of piece that I could get, and I put them around my neck. And so he said, the guy in the foxhole with me goes, why are you wearing all those things? And he said, because I can't afford to take a chance. Isn't that truth? That's the way we look at it in Christianity. So here's the thing. God manages and dispenses or administrates his desired plan, what he sees as needed for whoever is involved at the time in the history, in our history, okay? And he has dispensed to you and me faith alone as our method of salvation. Okay, now are you all with me? Okay, good, okay. All right, but to Israel in the gospel period, their method of salvation was water baptism, circumcision, works of the law, performing the ceremonial law, and we see all that, and they're a family. You understand that Israel's a family, okay? A big, big family, and they have to do those things and do it properly in order to be accepted by God. So, let me just explain means and methods now. Means of salvation means God's part. Method of salvation means how do we respond to God's part, okay? And so the means of salvation is always Jesus Christ's sacrifice. He was sacrificed for your sin and for my sin and for the sins of the world from the beginning to the end, okay? And his blood sacrifice caused us to be forgiven. Amen? Okay? And so that's God's part. So he paid for our sin. He was put in our place so that we didn't have to go to court, so to speak, and be accused. He was the person that did that for us. That's the means of salvation. That is true all the way through history. Okay? That you remember last week, we even read out of Galatians, it says, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles. Do you remember that? That was, see, they saw ahead of time when Abraham was counted as righteous. All that was based on the fact that when Christ died, it covered history past and history future. Okay. Now, the method of salvation, our part in how we respond to God, is in the, for us, is in the dispensation of the mystery, the one that Paul's talking about in Ephesians 3, which is faith alone. And Paul's job, he said, is to make all men see, or all people see, what is the dispensation of the mystery. Why? Because it differs from Israel. And if we get them confused, we're going to get mush theology. Mush theology. All right? All right. So why is it important for us today? Because it eliminates the confusion, and the confusion scares us into doing stupid things. Isn't that what fear always does? Makes you make the wrong decisions, makes you do the wrong things? Okay, so we are a confused bunch of Christians, and I said, and today that confusion is going to stop right here, right now, and if it isn't, when I'm done, come on up, and I'll finish clearing it up, okay? God has not dispensed circumcision to the body of Christ, right? We all see that one. We seem to get that one. And his family, and he's dispensed to Abraham and his family to be a covenant, this circumcision, and a special relationship with God. And it was a, I don't know how to explain it, it was a family ordeal. Who are the 12 tribes of Israel? The 12 sons of Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And so circumcision was their covenant between God and Israel, that they would be the chosen people of God. And their whole job was ultimately, after Christ died, to evangelize the world and bring us in. But they did not do that. You know, yeah. Right, and there's a strong movement right now for the Gentile to become a Jew. Do you know that? We're seeing it all over the place where they're wanting to become Jews. And I'm going to be honest with you. This is my opinion. I think it's blasphemy. And I'll tell you why. Because we're acting like the chosen family that God separated out, and then we're trying to act like them. And it's a blight to grace. Because we have faith plus nothing, right? And so then we're trying to make it faith plus, well, we're going to do Moses' law, and all of a sudden we're into mush theology again. All right. Thank you. Now, God has also not dispensed Moses' law to us, because it was only dispensed to Israel, because they're the covenant people, the chosen people, and he has not dispensed justification by works. In other words, we cannot impress God by our works. We cannot make ourselves saved by works. Amen? That's right, because that wasn't given to us. And he does not hold us accountable to do works to straighten up our life so that we can go to heaven. That doesn't work. But what he did administrate to us is after we believe, he's created us into a person who can do good works, right? And you know that because here's the thing that's so wonderful about, and this becomes the unsearchable riches of Christ. When you do what you're built to do, you feel like there's hardly any effort in it. You know that? In fact, I remember I thought, oh, that can't, you know, that's so easy to do. I need to find something that's hard to do, or I have to sweat in the body of Christ to make it work. Well, I was trying to find something that wasn't my gift. Because when I did my gift, it just was like falling off a log. And God did that in his unsearchable riches for Christ. He created good works for us after salvation. Whereas with Israel, how did he do it? He did it in the process of their salvation. They do it all along, and that keeps them the covenant people. Okay. All right. Everybody with me so far?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, okay, so faith without works. Okay, so let me just read from Romans 3:28 again so that we get this clear in our head. Therefore, we conclude, Paul says, what he's concluding his idea about faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds or works of the law. Okay? We're justified apart from that. And we even see in him you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. And like I said last week, Paul doesn't just say you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, because we wouldn't believe it. Then he says this, just by the Holy Spirit, he says the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee? And so we are in, sealed, packaged, and done upon belief. Now, here's the thing that comes up. People say, well, yeah, does that mean he can go out and do anything? And Paul asks those questions. He says, shall we sin that grace might abound? No. Well, you do that if you're still under the law. But if you're under grace and you understand grace, it's so overwhelming, you can't help but live for him. Are you following me? And people are always saying, well, that means you just go out and murder and that kind of thing. If you understand grace, you're not going to go out and murder. You're just not going to do those things. And when you do, you feel like a two-cent piece and ask God for forgiveness, even though you're already forgiven. And you straighten out your relationship with him and keep walking. Amen? Yeah. All right. So anyhow, what he's dispensed to you and I is not only faith without works, but he's dispensed the ministry of reconciliation, the act of evangelism. You know, do you realize that it's only the Gentiles that evangelize? Do you know that Jews do not evangelize? Have you ever noticed that? They have what's called proselyting, and if somebody bugs them to death about becoming a Jew, there's a process that they can go through, and it's a long process, and they have to memorize stuff and do this to become a Jew. But Israel does not actively seek people. It was never intended, because they were a family. It was a family affair. But we are given evangelism let me just even read a scripture so you understand how clear this is. Peter in Acts chapter 10, after Paul's saved, Peter gets the message from God that has changed and the Gentiles are going to be saved and this kind of thing. And he says in verse 28 of Acts 10, then he said to them, you know how unlawful, listen to this, how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go into one of another nation. Now, what's nation mean? Gentile, right. So it's not only do they not go to the Gentile, but it's unlawful. In fact, they have to go through ceremonial cleansing if they shake a Gentile's hand, because they're unclean then, okay? And so Peter surprisingly sees all of a sudden this dispensation is changing. God's dispensing that now the Gentile can be saved. And we see the first Gentile saved in Acts chapter 10. Okay, I got 9 minutes. Okay, and so I'm going to explain why the confusion, and I think you'll have fun with this. I'm going to talk about a few different denominations, one that I was raised in and ours now, and then a few others, so you can kind of see what happens when you take one dispensational thing and put it in, another dispensational thing and put it in, and then you get your mush theology, right? Okay, so I'm going to start with the Roman Catholics. How many here have been Roman Catholics at some point in your life? Okay, or still are. Okay, man, last night it was like 3/4 of the people. Okay, and let's look at means of salvation. What do they believe? Jesus Christ's sacrifice. But they also have Mary and saints' activity that goes along with that, so it's a little blurry, but it's fairly in there. And then the method of salvation, man's response is salvation by works, right? Who's that belong to? Israel, okay? Confession, who does that belong to? It really, if you study well enough, you find it really is Jewish also. And works of repentance, Israel. So they take the Gospels and James and Hebrews and a lot of these scriptures that are meant for Israel, and they apply them together. Then they take infant baptism. Now, where does infant baptism in the Bible? It isn't at all. What it is, and I just read this not too long ago while we were studying theology, Nathan. Oh, I forgot all about this. Infant baptism, the Catholic Church believes, and we're going to find out the Lutherans believe that, and the Methodists do too, that infant baptism takes the place of circumcision. So what they do is they baptize the baby when it's 8 days old instead of circumcising, okay? And so they've made that into the Christian circumcision. So whose circumcision belong to? Israel. Okay. Loss of salvation. Israel. Okay. Mortal sins. If they commit a mortal sin, then they can't go to heaven. Israel. Menial sins. Well, they can be forgiven. So that's Paul and Israel, both. And then their election upon salvation is conditional by behavior. Who is that? Israel or the body of Christ? Israel. Okay. Let's go to the Lutherans. All right. How many Lutherans? Okay, we got quite a few Lutherans. Notice they all sit in the back. Oh, okay. All right. Just kidding. All right. Means of salvation, Jesus Christ's sacrifice. You remember when Luther came out, it was justification by faith. You remember that the first book he wanted to throw out of the Bible was James, because James 2:20 says you're justified by works and not by faith only, and so he wanted to get rid of that book out of the Bible so that you had complete justification by faith. So the Lutherans believe in justification by faith, but they also believe salvation is maintained by works. Okay? And who's that, Israel or the body of Christ? Israel, okay. And justification by faith is who? Paul. All right. Infant baptism. We're back to the replacement for circumcision. Who's that? Israel. Okay. Loss of salvation can happen. Israel. Election upon salvation is conditional by behavior. Israel. All right. Methodist. Means God's part is Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Now, you notice that all of the denominations understand Jesus Christ's sacrifice and the forgiveness of sins, but most of them want us to kind of carry the burden with Christ. All right? Do we carry the burden with Christ? No. Okay. All right, so we get the methods, justification by faith, Gentile. Salvation maintained and demonstrated by works. Okay? Israel. Loss of salvation, Israel. Election upon salvation, conditional by behavior, Israel. Social gospel, that's the whole Bible, right? That's a principle. Social gospel is a principle, not a dispensational thing. Okay, Church of Christ. I put Church of Christ here because I had some Church of Christ guys on the Saturday night service, and I love teasing them. And so I thought, well, this is a good one because we hear about the Church of Christ, and you probably hear more about the Christian church, right? A lot of Christian churches around, okay? So what do they believe, okay? They have the Church of Christ, the Christian church, the disciples of Christ, and the United Church of Christ. Now, you're going from totally conservative to totally liberal, okay? Don't know how that happened in that movement. I've talked to some pastors in the Church of Christ, and they go, well, we don't know how that happened either. Okay, so you have the means is for the Church of Christ, Jesus Christ's sacrifice. For the Christian church, Jesus Christ's sacrifice. For the disciples of Christ, Jesus Christ's sacrifice. But Christ didn't totally substitute us. We believe in substitutional atonement. How do you like that for a theological word? It means that Christ took our place, right? Do we believe that? Yeah. Well, the disciples of Christ, the United Church of Christ, don't believe that. Okay, they believe you have to do part of that substitution. Okay, so the method. Justification by faith, but works demonstrate and prove your salvation. If you are not doing works, you are not saved. Okay? Water baptism for salvation for the Church of Christ, and a water baptism after salvation for the Christian church. Where's all that come from? Israel, right? That's where it started. Salvation by faith. Gentiles, okay? Election upon salvation or pre-election is conditional in behavior, very conditional in the Church of Christ. That's Israel, right? No eternal security for the believer. Is that Gentile or Jew? Jew, okay. Baptists. How many Baptists here? Okay, I was raised Baptist. Okay, so, I'm surprised it isn't the back row. Okay, so a lot of us were raised in the Baptist, and I'm going to throw non-denominational in there. The means is Jesus Christ's sacrifice, his substitutional atonement, for forgiveness of sins, all those things, okay? The method is justification by faith, Gentile to Jew. Jew, Gentiles, thank you. Works after salvation, Gentile. Before or during is Jew, okay? Yeah. Works after salvation, okay? Baptism after salvation. Oh, that's a little complicated. That's really Israel and... we'll get into that one of these days when we get to chapter 4, okay? you know it's all in there. All right, and then salvation by faith alone. Gentile dispensation, the dispensation mystery. Election upon salvation or pre-election, Gentile. Eternal security for the believer, Gentile. Social gospel principle. Right? All right. So now, when we look at that, do you understand now that when we look at these, we see a certain group using Israel's dispensation, and then they take other pieces of the Gentile, the dispensation of the mystery, get it together, stir it up, and serve confusion. You see that? Okay, it's pretty clear when you look at it from a dispensational point of view, isn't it? It gets really confusing if you take that out. Okay, and yet I want to re-stress this, that principles make up 95% of the Bible. There's so much in the Word of God that's about righteousness and holiness and how to be able to live holy before God. Or, you know, like Steve and I were doing a study, he was doing a study on prayer, and we were looking at this verse. It is the will of God, our sanctification. Now, sanctification means our holiness. Is that a principle or is that a dispensational thing? It's a principle. It's all through the Bible, God's holiness, okay? So, if we take some of the denominations, we see that some of the denominations are borrowing Israel and borrowing methods of the body of Christ, and... I look at it and I think, okay, let's start with the Catholic and go on down. What if you have a Catholic and they believe in Jesus Christ for their salvation? That's what they're hanging on to. Are they saved? Yes. They may be taught wrong. They may not believe all things. And we go right through those denominations. And if they believe the means of salvation, okay, and they believe it, then they're probably saved. And the problem is, if we wait till we all have perfect theologies, who's going to heaven? Nobody. Because I think God wrote it, so you have to keep reading his word. He could have just explained it now, bing, 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 there you go, just memorize that and you're done. And he wouldn't have to make us such a thick book, but he wants us in his word to be cleansed and to grow. And so none of us got it down pat, but the dispensations give us a clarity of God's program for the ages. And I have papers on these. If you want them, come up and let me know. I'll print them off for you. I wrote them about 20 years ago. They need a little upkeep, but they're still there. And I even have a paper that I have 12 dispensations. Who knows how many there really are, but I wrote one with 12. All right, and so anyhow... I think that we need to thank God, because when we look at that way, is our dispensation great or what? Faith alone? His mercy endures forever? We get to do works because he planned that after salvation we could do those, and when we do it, you know, it's just like a couple days ago, I found out somebody in the church didn't have any food. So Debbie and I went shopping at Costco, and we filled up a cart, and we took it over to their house and gave them food. And they're like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. Do you think that is neat? Oh, man, that felt so good to do that. It just felt so good because God has built us to do those kind of things. And we drove away, and as I was walking away from their house, I could hear them, oh, look, we got this, oh, look, we got this. You know, they were looking through all the stuff that we had brought to the house, and I thought, you know, isn't that, oh, it feels so awful to do that. No, it feels great to do the works. And so we're scared to death of them, because the problem is we think those works are going to be preaching on the podium or being a missionary in Africa. Right? And that's not it. It's where you are, folks. It may end up in Africa, and it may end up on a pulpit, but you'll grow into it. But it certainly isn't going to happen right away. I thought, as soon as I became a Christian, I'm going to be just like Billy Graham, because that's who got us saved. Yeah, I'm still not there. Okay. All right. So thank God for that. Let me just close with just a verse here, and then I'll close up with our scripture that we read. In 2 Timothy 2:15, if you have your Bibles, turn there. I want you to look at it with your eyes, and it will be up here too. It says in the New King James, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God." Okay, and the problem is if we don't divide the word of God, we're in trouble. Because then we're back to mush theology. And the old King James said this, and it can be just as good. "Study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Okay, and so how are we ashamed? When we don't rightly divide. And you know it because you've talked to people and they ask a question and you can't answer it. Right? And what, how does that make you feel when you can't answer it? And they're not saved and they're asking, "Well, what about the, you know, the people in Africa or this kind of thing?" And you're going, I don't know how to answer that. How does that make you feel? Doesn't it kind of have a little bit of a shame attached to it? Yeah, because we don't know God's word. And so here's the thing. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So let's just close with our verse 9, and then I'm going to pray. "And to make all see what is the dispensation of the mystery," that is our job, folks, "which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden God who created all things through Jesus Christ." Now, before I pray, how many liked the theology? Okay, did you like it? Okay, I know that there are some people that are just don't care. And that's okay. That's fine. Okay, and I usually do more practical sermons, but here in the first half of the chapter 3, it's theology, folks. And I'm going to preach it, and I'm going to be faithful to God in that. Now, this is the last one. So if you want to continue, you got to let me know, and we'll make a list, and we'll start a class, and we'll go through a lot of theology, and I'll give you all the theology you want. In fact, I'll even give you a bachelor's degree if you qualify, or a master's degree when you get through, but you're going to get tested. Okay, all right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the chance to be talking about this, that you said that make all people see what is the dispensation of the mystery. And Lord, it is our challenge as a people to figure out, to go out and tell the world what our dispensation is. Go out, and we don't have to talk about the dispensation, we have to talk about the message, Lord, that they can believe in you. And you made it really clear in Romans 10:9 when you said that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you know, while our heads are bowed, you may be here this morning and you don't know Christ as Savior, or you don't have that relationship with God. Let me talk to you for a second. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and the wages of that sin is death. But it goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I just quoted that verse which says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you will. And so if you're here this morning and this is the day that you want to put your faith in God, I'm going to say a little prayer and you just say it along with me. And it goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and life and be the Lord of my life. God, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead like that verse said, and he rose from the dead for me. So come into my life and save me today. Well, our heads are bowed. If you prayed that prayer and you really meant it, will you raise your hand up, put it back down? Let God know you meant business today. Just show him by putting your hand up. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else want to give your life to Christ today? Father, we are so thankful. Almost every Sunday we see people raise their hand. Some people are raising their hands to ask you in for a first-time relationship. And we're excited. I just pray for those who raise their hand for a first-time relationship that you will give them the strength and the courage to talk with us so that we can help them through. And then, Lord, sometimes people raise their hand because they want to rededicate their life and give their life back to you. And Lord, I just pray for those, and I'm sure there's a lot in here each week that want to give their life back. Help us to give our life to you every day for the remainder of our life, that we might solely put our life back in your hands so that you can use us in great, mighty ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.